covet your prayers this afternoon. I appreciated that song we just sang. The phrase in there says, guide me to that peaceful shore.
Yeah.
Truly, I'm looking forward to that. And no doubt there's many in here this afternoon that are, and some maybe have a head start on me. But the fact of the matter is, we all have an end. This life will end. This fleeting life will end, as the song says. But this afternoon, I want to focus a little more specifically on that heavenly home, on home. And to start off with, we'll just ask the question, let's consider ourselves in a literal sense first. Have you ever been homesick? I know I have. I remember when I was younger, especially going on a couple of trips. One in particular, I was probably 6 or 7 years old. And we went on a long trip out to California, and we were gone for probably 2 weeks, but it seemed like about a month or 2 months. But after about the first week, I was ready for my own bed. I was ready for the comforts of home, ready to get back home. And but that's how it is. So we consider it this way. What is home? Well, home is obviously your residence. That's where you abide. But it's also a place where you feel loved. It's where you feel accepted. It's where you share your family's name. And speaking of family, it's where your brothers, sisters, your parents, those that you love most, that's where they're at. So you feel a comfort there. And you feel a security there. And you feel all the other comforts of home. It's a place you can rest. You ever been weary working outside, perhaps, or maybe you're on a long trip and you get back home and you're so tired and exhausted and you just sink down into your easy chair or in bed and you just want to relax and just, you know, everyone leave you alone for a long time. But it's also a place of refuge.
Yeah.
I remember, again, as a little boy, especially when the thunderstorms had come around, and it was a frightful thing. The loud thunder and the lightning outside, especially at nighttime. Everything's spookier at night. But I found that if I was by myself, I don't know what I would have done. But I had some big brothers there. I had my parents there. I could go into their bedrooms and everything was okay. I could find a security there, a refuge. Then, of course, the protection from all the elements of the Mother Nature. But then there's also the, speaking of the security there, I remember when it was dark, and remember having to do some chores outside, whether it was taking the trash out or going somewhere back behind the house, and it was dark. And there was something about it. Every noise out there seemed like was amplified. It was like just any little faint noise, like, oh no, what was that? But there was something about it. As soon as I turned around and I could see the lights in the window of home, I was, phew. I ran back in just knowing something was after me. But that security, that refuge, that home, I felt safe. I knew that I was going to be well cared for. Well, that's how it is in the natural sense, and that's how it should be. And those that have been cheated of those memories, speaking of memories, there's also things. I remember the smells of the food that my mother would cook and then my grandma and different things. And it would just make you feel so good. You're outside playing or whatever, and they give you a cold glass of water or milk or something and some cookies or cobbler or whatever. And it just made you feel good, made you feel wanted and accepted. Excuse me. But there's something about these things that remind us of home. And that leads me to another point. Have you ever wondered how these, we could say, the antique shops and the flea markets, how they prosper? You walk in there and it's just the rows, the walls and the aisles just lined with old antique stuff. And you're looking and, but if you've ever, I've done it some myself, but I'll walk through the aisles and I'll see a toy or something else I remember my grandma had or my parents had. Oh, I remember that tool or that utensil or whatever, or that toy. And it starts bringing back all these memories. You start reminiscing, you're like, oh, That was the good old days, you know, when carefree, you know, and I remember all those types of things, and there's something about it. And sure enough, I've spoke with several people that have shopped at places like that, maybe go to their houses, and you see some of those things sitting around. And it reminds them of a wonderful time in their childhood. There's something about it, it's like, oh, I remember that, and they want to buy it. It may not be the exact thing they had, but it resembles something. It's something about home. It's something special to you and dear to your heart. Well, God made us emotional creatures as such, and that's okay. You can have some attachments like that. But you know, those things only go so far. Because we realize that this life is temporary. This home, we're passing through this earth. Change and decay, and all around I see, the song says. It's like everything, you may buy a brand new car, but 20 years from now, it's going to be rusting out on you. You're going to have to start having some issues with it. Your house is the same. Eventually, those roofs are going to leak. And your bodies, eventually, our bodies are going to wear out. So everything on this side of eternity is temporal. So, Lord, help us not to focus too much on the temporal side of life. But I believe God would have it that there's some analogies here. There's some things that He gives us in this life. If you could say it this way, He gives us a little piece of heaven here on earth. We have His Spirit most of all. And we have the family of God. And we have all the comforts of home, be it at home, in church, in Zion, where we feel loved. We're all of the same family, the same blood. You understand what I'm saying? Where we feel accepted and needed. And that's how God wants it to be. And it's something where maybe you're out working, having to work in the elements of the world, so to speak, around sin and wickedness. And then you come to a camp meeting like this, or a worship service on Wednesday night in the middle of the week, and it's like, oh, this feels so good. It's home. It's my home away from this sinful world, so to speak. But God has, He gives us those things to, and that's still just a piece, just a snippet of what He has prepared for us on that eternal shore. And that's what I want to speak about some more this afternoon. You pray for us. You see, I'll tell you a little story of my grandmother Cole's home place. I have some family here and they know what I'm talking about. Many fond memories. And to me, that was like my second home, because we spent a lot of summer days and nights there and holidays and different things. But 25 years or so ago, the place still looked pretty good. Yes, it was old and it had some age and some decay on it, but it was still livable. Folks still lived there. But as time has rolled on, now we drive by it, and it looks totally different. I remember years ago when I was just a child, when the thunderstorms would come or it was raining, we'd all run inside, and grandmother, she'd fix some toast and homemade applesauce or whatever, and we'd be okay. You know, we're inside, we'd play some games inside, and everything, we felt safe and secure in there. But many fond memories there, and many things that I look back at some photos that were taken years ago, and I remember that kitchen utensil there. I remember that chair. I remember that old grandfather clock and all these things and all the nostalgia, and you know, remembering all those things. But now I drive by, and it's just an empty shell of a house. There's no one there, no one living there, and it's just all run down. The yard has grown up, big trees out there where it used to be nice mown grass, and everything's dilapidated, and there's been thieves that would drive by and steal stuff out of the house, so there's really not much there, you know? It's open to the elements. Well, that's what happens to the temporal things of this life. When we set our affections on things down here below, the devil will see to it that those things will be stolen eventually. Whether it's there's things that people have, the hopes and dreams of aspirations of whatever they want to accomplish in this life only. And the devil will see to it that ultimately there will be failure there. That ultimately that there's no true satisfaction there. It may seem awesome for a while, but in the end it's all as nothing. It's just as a vapor, but there's something about when we start anchoring our souls over into the eternal world. We start laying up our treasures in heaven and start reminiscing about all those things that God has prepared for us above. And we start remembering the loved ones that have gone on before. And it's like, oh, I remember their face. I remember the special times I had with them. They're not here in this empty shell of this house. You drive by my grandmother's house and it's like, no one wants to go there. But there's something about thinking of that heavenly home, that home above that, oh, there's something to anticipate up there. And to consider that in particular, let's turn and read John 14 and 2. Very familiar scripture. You see, Jesus knew that we needed to have something extra, a hope, okay? A hope of a day, a time. Well, of course, in eternity, there is no time, but a hope of a place where there is no worries. There's no worries, no cares, no enemies, no trouble, no decay. But here in John 14, let's read the first verse. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now let me ask the question here. I mentioned earlier about going on a trip, a long trip. I remember going on a long trip one time. This is as an adult. We took our family and traveled several hundred miles. And we were tired, drove most of the way. It was a... We stopped very little, and very tired. We finally reach our destination, and we get into the place they had prepared for us. And I don't know how to explain it, but to have something prepared just for you, a place to sleep, food, all the accommodations just for us. They were thinking of us. They knew we were going to be tired. And they said, hey, you don't even have to. You just pull in and go in and here's everything for you. And let me tell you something. Talk about feeling special. Talk about feeling loved. They prepared that just for us. They knew we were weary. We were tired. And what a blessing that was. But again, that was still just a temporary home. All right. But imagine this. Jesus has gone on before and He and the Father have prepared an eternal home for us. Just for us. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not going to get into particulars. A lot of folks like to speculate about exactly what heaven will be like. Well, I, for one, I've never been there, so I don't really know what it's going to be like. But I can imagine. There's some descriptions here. And we'll read some more scriptures that bear that out. But I have this... If the presence of the Lord is so wonderful and special here... But we have this flesh that's a veil that still interferes with some of that, okay? But in the end, when that flesh is dropped and that veil is dropped and we're in glory, there's nothing to interfere with God's presence and His Spirit there. That's all enveloped in one. There's no enemy over there, okay? There's no sin, no darkness over there. And it's all blissful, glorious time with the Lord and the saints that have gone on before. But again, to think of God preparing something just for you, just for me. That's how much He loves us this afternoon. Then let's turn and read another scripture. I want to emphasize a little bit of, I spoke of a refuge earlier. And there's a scripture in Psalms 90 and 1. There's something about when you... Say it is a big thunderstorm or a rainstorm and you're just, you know, it's cold or maybe a blizzard, whatever the case is, and you're tired of being out in the elements. And it's like, if I can just get inside the house, I can relax and feel at home and it'll be a refuge. But what does it say here in Psalms 90 and 1? It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Have you ever worked outside for maybe several hours and you're hot, sweaty, whatever the case is, and you get inside and it's a refuge. Out of the heat, out of the elements, and you feel like, okay, I can recover, I can recuperate here, I can get rejuvenated. And sure enough, that's what you do. And you go back out, you do it again, you come back. But here it's saying, "He that dwelleth in the secret of the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." It's as if we have our Heavenly Father standing over us And he of all, he is the shadow, if you could call it that. His presence, his being, in a broader spectrum here, his church, Zion, where we can seek that as a refuge from, as I mentioned earlier on Wednesday nights. Sometimes those are some of the most blessed services. I look forward to those now, that because you get to hear all these, you could say, sermonettes from everyone, their experiences of their testimonies of how they found refuge in the Lord throughout the week. And they come in, and now we get to experience that as well. And it's so wonderful. But that means in this refuge, remember in the Old Testament, they'd have the cities of refuge. You know, when someone had committed a crime and they'd murdered someone and or killed someone, and they would flee for the city of refuge. And I could imagine this, someone that had been caught in that situation, and maybe they can see the walls and the gates of the city of refuge, and they can hear those coming after them, pursuing them, but they top over this hill and they see the walls and they see the gates of the city. It's like, if I can just make it inside, I'll be safe. You know, I feel like that's the way I feel sometimes. It seems like the enemy is just after us constantly. He's relentless. He's just like a big bully, just constantly beating on us or beating on our loved ones. And you're like, oh, and it's just, you leave me alone. But that's the devil pursuing us, okay? But we get a glimpse sometimes. You ever had that before where it's like the Lord comes by and pays you a visit? I had that happen not too long ago. It was having a really difficult time. And out of the blue, in fact, I was in a conversation with someone, and sad to say, my mind was elsewhere because I was dealing with all these other things and they were trying to explain something. And the Lord came down. It was like, because the Lord knew my spirit, it's like the Lord came down and just gave me the special, warm, comforting, encouraging feeling that this is just your temporary home. This is not all there is out there. I have something better in mind for you. One of these days, you're going to be free from all this. You won't be worrying, fretting, and going by the clock and trying to meet all these. No, you won't have to worry about any of that. One of these days, you're going to be free from this. You know what? No one else could have given me that special comfort. Isn't that wonderful? But that's the type of refuge God can give us. In the midst of everything going on, God can be our refuge, all right, our dwelling place. There's another scripture in Isaiah 25 and verse 4. Isaiah 25 and 4 says, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." Again, this refuge that the Lord has to offer us, a shelter from the storm, here it says. Perhaps you've had to drive in a heavy rainstorm and it's windy, and in fact, another situation, a blizzard, even in snow. Just recently, this past winter, we had to drive several miles in a blowing, blinding snow. And it was relentless. It's like we had to get to our destination, but we had to just creep along. But it was so nerve-wracking, and it was a storm. I mean, and in fact, we ended up sliding off, spinning off the side of the road, down the ditch. And we're like, oh no, right in the middle of a storm like this. Thankfully, we were able to get back out of the ditch. But sometimes that's what it feels like in life. It's like day after day after week. It's like it's relentless. The storms of life sometimes can feel like it's just bashing you to pieces. You're like, can I make it? Can I ever make it home, so to speak? Can I ever get through this? I want to say, yes, with the help of the Lord, you can. God will see you through. The Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, the blizzard, the rain, all the storms, the waves, all those things may be around you and rocking your boat, so to speak. Remember when the disciples were out there in the sea? It's like, oh, we perish. They just thought, this is it. But when Jesus came on the scene, and especially the one when he was in the boat, do you really think Jesus would have allowed that boat to sink with him in it? Sometimes that's what we feel like. I'm going to tell you something. When you have the presence of the Lord with you, you're at home. Your refuge is in the Lord. It's not in the things, the outward appearance of things where other folks may look upon your life, or you've seen other people and it's like they've gone through so many things and you're like, how in the world are they able to survive? How can they make it? They found their strength in the Lord. He was their refuge in the storm. Well, I want to remind us again, these are all things that remind us of this life here below, because it is temporary. This flesh will fall away. This earth will melt away. All these things. But God is preparing us, all right, for something better. In Revelations 21, another familiar scripture. Revelations 21, verses 3 and 4. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You know, there'll come a time at the end of this life, the things of this earth will just be a memory. And let me tell you something. I'm not going to be longing for these things anymore. I'm not going to be walking down the aisles of an antique shop or a flea market looking for those things anymore, so to speak. And even in my spirit, I'm not going to be longing for all these, if you could, worldly, I'm not saying worldly friends, the connections of the world, where business connections or family members and all these things. I'm not going to be longing for those, because why? I'm in the presence of the Lord forever. All those things are passed away. There may be some, I'm not going to try to give a distinction here. There may be some memories. I'm not going to disqualify that. But the fact of the matter is, I'm going to be with my Lord and Savior. That's the most important thing. And the enemy is not going to be anywhere around. That's the second most important thing. But there's something about being in God's presence. There's times when this life seems, maybe it seems overwhelming. I don't know what each one of you are going through at this time. But if you're not going through an overwhelming time right now, maybe you have in the past, and maybe you will in the future. Only God knows. But I want to remind you of this one thing. Don't focus your eyes and your attention and your heart on things here below. What's the scripture say? Set your affections on things above. Not on where on the earth where it corrupts. It deteriorates. These things are stolen. They rot. They get blown away with tornadoes. They get burned up in fires. They get all these things. They get lost. But that's because they're temporal. It's just for a short time. But I think of our home, our heavenly home. As I mentioned earlier, God gives us some little samples. You ever went somewhere and you enter in the door of a restaurant, or you walk by different places that have been cafeterias or whatever, and they give you little samples on little toothpicks of their type of foods that they have. They want you to come eat and dine and spend a lot of money with them, but they give you these free samples. You know, I look at it this way. It's like God gives us a little taste of heaven here. He gives us, yes, His Spirit. He's given us the family of God, as I mentioned earlier, and all these things, and the peace and the joy and all the fruits of the Spirit that we can enjoy here on this earth. The victory we can have over sin, okay? But we still have to deal with our flesh. We still have to contend with the enemy. So it's not the full package yet, all right? But I think of the scripture that says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I've tasted enough of the Lord right now. Then I'm in earnest. It's like I'm ready to go get that full buffet. I'm through with the sampling. I want to get the real deal. All right. I want to get the real meal that everyone is talking about. How many you've heard of folks that have had maybe they've had these experiences that they died and went to heaven, came back, and they They've wrote books about it. They've given testimonies and all these different things. And I've never talked with anyone directly that has experienced that. But it's amazing to hear their stories. They say the sounds that you hear are beyond. The colors are, you just can't imagine all the colors that you see and experience and all the other things that they've, and the face of Jesus, maybe just the presence of knowing that He's there, they just feel so at ease and at peace. Well, again, that's just a sampling of the Lord. But to imagine if you've experienced the Lord now and He's good, imagine what heaven is going to be like. You understand? Can we grasp that is the prize beyond all prizes? That's the end goal it should be of all of us. Lord, help us that we not be short-sighted and we sell out short and say, well, I'm just going to settle for the little appetizers. No. I say, go on and purchase the full meal, so to speak. Go on and sell out for the Lord. Say, I want that ultimate prize, this heavenly home where there's no enemy. There's no, what's the scripture say? No tears, no death, no crying, no sorrow. That's what I want to experience. And those loved ones that have gone on before, we all have loved ones over on the other side. You'll get to see them again in a glorified state. But the key is, there's a requirement. Number one, yes, you must be saved to be born again. But it doesn't end there. It says, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So that's where the endurance part comes. That's, if you could say, the long segment between the two dots, so to speak. That's the dash that people have said on the tombstones. That dash, that life, that endurance is what we must strive to do. To press, all right, towards the mark. To the scripture also says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. That's what we're talking about here this afternoon. There is a prize. There is a reward. There is some reaping to do if we don't give up on this side of eternity. If we persevere and endure to the end. I'm reminded of a song. Perhaps we all know it. Wish I could sing it. Don't really know it well enough to sing it. But it says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It says, life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. That's what I'm encouraging you all of us to do here this afternoon. That we bravely run the race. That we endure to the end. Don't give up just short of the prize. Okay? I remember seeing a video clip of someone running a marathon. And they were several steps ahead of those that were behind them. You know what they started doing? Before they crossed the finish line, they already started celebrating. All right? They already slowed down. They already just kind of halfway jogging and hooping and hollering and celebrating. And about 2 feet before they reached the finish line, guess what? Boom! Someone passed them up and they won the race. They lost. They didn't win. Well, they may have got second or third place. But when it comes to heaven, are you going to settle for second or third place? No. There's only one place. Heaven or hell. It's your choice. So the challenge is, let's endure. As the song said again, it'll be worth it all. When we get to that other side, this is going to be nothing. Oh, and I think of all the ones that have gone before us. Remember, think of all the things that Jesus suffered in the flesh. Think of all the things that Apostle Paul suffered in the flesh. And the list goes on and on. The martyrs. And I'm thinking, I haven't even come close to what they had to endure. So my prayer for myself, oh Lord, help me to endure. And the little trials and troubles that I have. I think of another song too that has been an encouragement to me. I'll just read the verses quickly. Perhaps it's another familiar song. It's titled, I'm Too Near Home. I'll read the first verse. It says, I've been traveling here in this life with its heartaches, troubles, and strife. Sometimes Satan tries to tell me to turn aside. You ever had that? Kind of whisper in your ear, it's not worth it. Just turn aside, just get a little detour here, it's okay. I say, Satan, get thee behind. No returning in me you'll find. I'm too near my heavenly home where I'll abide forever. Then verse 2 says, there is joy in going this way. It gets sweeter every day. My dear Lord is leading the way to realms above. He'll be with me until the end. Be my Savior, guide, and my friend. Isn't that wonderful? I'll arrive in heaven, my home of perfect love. And verse 3 reads, just one glimpse inside the home gates. See my friends and loved ones who wait. Twill be whatever the cost, twill be worth whatever the cost to make it through. I would not give up in the race. I'll continue by the Lord's grace. I'm too near my heavenly home beyond the blue. Then the chorus reads, thank you. The chorus reads, I'm too near my Lord, too near home and heaven's reward. I am not returning to sin. I've made my vow. I've made up my mind. I'm leaving those things behind. There's nothing to turn back to, oh praise the Lord. Sweet heaven's in view. I'm too near my heavenly home to turn back now. So I want us, dear ones, to be encouraged this afternoon. When you go home from this meeting, no doubt the devil's going to meet you there. But I want you to remember, the Lord's going to meet you there too. Take him with you. You've met the Lord here and the Lord's blessing you here in this meeting. Take him home with you. He'll be with you until he'll be your Savior, guide, and your friend. Because he wants you to make it through. You realize that you've seen these races, the marathons and all these, the people run. You know what is on the outside of the track and or the route that they're running? It's their friends and their family cheering them on. Go, 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 you know. They're cheering them on. We have someone, our friend, our Savior, our guide, Jesus, as you could say, he's running beside us saying, you can do it. You can do it. I made it. Now you can make it through. And there it is. It's right over the hill. Heaven's just right on the other side. You can make it. You can persevere. You can endure. So I want to encourage everyone this afternoon. As the song said earlier, let's bravely run the race. Let's do this together. We can all win first place, this heavenly prize, if we endure. Pray for me that I would be faithful and endure to the end.